everybody. Welcome to Glad You're Here. I'm here with Clayton, Clay, Clint, Robert, Clay Ryan. Clay Ryan is his name. He was just riffing on what people have called him throughout the years. How you doing, man?
Man, it's good. Like I was saying earlier, I kind of just went straight from work, made myself as presentable as one needs to be for something that's mostly audio format, and then here we are. This is my life, man. I'm A to B to Z to back to B to C.
Yeah. Great. I love it. Well, you look pretty presentable to me.
I feel comfy.
Yeah, good. Hey, I approve. I think you're looking sharp.
You ever been up to Sal's up there in St. Joe?
I can't say that I have been to Sal's.
Oh, it's a cool place. Just a nice little dive bar in St. Joseph down the street from the studio I record at. Great burgers, and the owners are awesome people.
Oh, which studio you record at over there?
Up at Rock House Productions in St. Joseph there.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, great people running that thing, man. It's like a treasure chest in the middle of nowhere. It's great.
Yeah. I love it. Shout it. What was the name of it again?
Sal's and then Rock House Productions.
Rock House Productions.
They're unanimous in my mind because you can't go to one without the other.
That's fair. I get that. I miss my dive bar days are done. That's why I have to drink the NA beer. So that's where I'm at. And nowadays I go into dive bars and then I'm a pain in the ass for them because I'm like, do you have any non-alcoholic beer? Anything? Do you have any vegan options? And they're like, dude.
I feel you because this ranch water is like one of the first things I've had to drink for a long time. Like I really cut it back in December because I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to save my money.
Yep.
And, I have this bad habit of commenting on everything on Instagram when I have too many drinks. And you can tell because you'll be like, oh, Clayton Ryan commented on your post at 4 a.m. And it's not like terrible things. It's all like usually supportive and really outgoing. But it's like I like to keep tabs on the things I put out on the internet for the rest of the time. And so that's – I definitely dial back a whole lot. I like those hot waters.
Those are good. Yeah, those
I drink
are good.
So much hot tea. Like this thing gets filled 4 or 5 times. Like 200 ounces of tea a day.
Yeah.
I'm like a tea machine, man.
Oh, man. I believe it. Well, and with a voice like yours, you actually got to take care of it.
I'm learning how to do it. I didn't for the first 20 years of, I guess I've been singing for about 10 and a half, 14, that somewhere in that window, but I did not treat it right for most of that time.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just now learning that this thing in my body is probably going to keep me employed for the rest of my life. So it's maybe time to tighten up the habits a bit.
I get it. Isn't it kind of wild looking back on like those 60s and 70s rock stars and how they lived? And it's like, how did you make it through even 1 week of shows? How did you not, you know, how did Mick Jagger not lose his voice every single week?
You know, I might catch some flack from saying this, but you go and you listen to live recordings and it's like, well, that's exactly how they should sound for people that party like they do. Like they don't, they're, you see so many of those records, like the records are great and you see the live version and everyone like worships them. And it's like, man, that doesn't sound good. It's
sounds like shit.
Like one of my favorite ones, people talk about how iconic there's like this clip of, Black Sabbath playing War Pigs, and it's all Bill Ward just slamming the drums the entire time as loud as he can.
Yep.
Ozzy like messes up the verses over and over again, like so out of tune, and people just worship that, and it's like, it's not good. They were good when they were in the game, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, I'm very avoidant of rose-tinted glasses for that exact reason, because I hear my own voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not good, and I'm not on heroin.
Right.
And like.
Yeah. No. Well, I think you answered the question. That is how they did it. They just sucked. They just embraced the suck.
If everyone's on heroin, can you tell that one other person singing is on heroin?
That's a good point. It's not exactly known as a performance-enhancing drug
for
much of anything.
For you, it might feel that way for you.
Yeah, maybe for you. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, but it's not even one of those drugs that, like, quote-unquote is a fun drug of, like, people come out and be like, yeah, you know, I took a bunch of dope, and then I wrote this masterpiece. I've never even heard it try to be glorified in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah.
I took heroin, and then I created this. You know, it's not like LSD or psilocybin or anything.
Other than, like, jazz, you know, you listen to Charlie Parker and Coltrane, and those guys were jonesing and just also shredding at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it made the fire there, but in a lot of ways. And no, I mean, I had my days. Don't worry, like college, I was in a rock and roll band, and it was exactly all that, like not like heroin and all that. We were poor, but it was like, you know, like we get high, and I loved whiskey, and I thought the more whiskey I drink, like the better the voice is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And like, this is rock and roll. This is what I've always wanted to do. And I lost my voice for almost a year because
oh, shit.
I I practically blew my diaphragm out in this rock and roll band. And I remember the gig. It was in Iowa City at this place called the Blue Moose Tavern that's like not even around anymore. And I went for this one note and I'm like, I'm going to be Chris Cornell starting now. And I ended up just like giving myself, I have a hiatal hernia from that gig, like a 2-centimeter hernia in my diaphragm.
Oh no.
And I'm still recovering from that crap. And so I decided in this last year to really take it seriously. Like I'll have a drink, but I drink so much tea. This mug is not at a single, I'm not at a single show without this mug.
Yeah.
And I avoid like spicy foods on the days of a gig. I try not to even eat within an hour of a gig. 2 hours is preferable.
Yep.
Try not to fall asleep drunk, because that's how, you know, you wake up feeling like someone punched you in the face.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm learning how to be like an adult about my voice. I'm not an adult in any other sense of the word, but try to treat my voice like it's, you know, an asset to my business.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like doing oil changes on your car, you know?
That's like, I'm not good at those either. My car is like 7,000 over right now, and I was actually going to do that before this, but I was like, shower or oil change.
I get it. Well, I'm glad you went with the shower and presentable.
I was going to say, you can't tell my car didn't have an oil change, but you'd be able to tell if I didn't shower if I came in here.
Yeah, I have no idea about it. But yeah, okay, so we've been talking about a bunch of shit now, but you're a music man, you're a song and dance man. This is your thing. This is what you do. You're in Minneapolis now, but from what I see, you've bounced around a bit.
Sure.
Right. So you started your life in Iowa, right? Is that about right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then kind of what was the trajectory that led you here? What happened there?
I'll give you the brief synopsis, the IMDb version. So I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. We lived there for a couple years. Just like a dot in my life. We moved to Winterset, Iowa, when I was 4 or 5, and grew up, I consider Iowa to be, I would say, my home state, and grew up there, went to high school, made all my first friends, went to college at the University of Northern Iowa, and it was the end of 2019, I ended up moving, after graduating college, moved out to the Black Hills, South Dakota, because my dad was living out there. And I'd see him once or twice a year, and it was a rough situation. I was graduating college, had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was living in a house with a girl that was had two boyfriends at the same time, and neither of them knew, and I was one of them.
Oh, no.
So I was like, that's a rough situation to be in.
It's a good
country
song, though.
Exactly. Yeah, I do have one.
Yeah?
And I don't ever play it because it's a funny song, and that's how you get famous, is you do one funny song. So
that's it.
I play it live, and I will never record it, but
that's fair.
So I ended up moving out to the Black Hills, and I thought I was going to only be there for a little bit. Thought I was going to move back, or I didn't know. I thought I was going to go to get my master's somewhere. Really not a sense of any direction whatsoever. And then of all the things to happen to a young man with no sense of direction, COVID happened. And it actually turned into one of the best years of my life, and I'm going to get canceled for saying that at one point. But because I just ended up, I was in South Dakota. It was a great place to be during that. And I just literally hiked in the woods all day long.
Oh, nice.
Like, I couldn't get a job. No one was hiring. And I got laid off from the job I moved up there for. So I ended up just hiking every single day.
Yeah.
Picked up a few gigs here and there. And I'd met a lady at the time. And just so life kind of came together for a bit there in South Dakota. I hopped on artist up there named Brandon Jones, who's just an awesome entertainer. I've never met anyone that cares as much about being on stage as that guy does. And he's just charismatic as all get out. He's got this big red ginger beard, just hilarious dude, can make friends with us every single person in a room. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got my first real tour life. We were playing 3-4 nights a week at times, doing week-long runs, opening for people like Jody Messina, Co Wetzel.
Nice.
Stuff like that. Ned Ledoux, just, it was super cool.
Let me just pick up these names you dropped on the floor here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Turnpike Troubadours was really cool.
Yeah.
Just
oh,
bands
nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And that was a nice thing to go through, because I was so used to promoting my own music. And little did I know how much I didn't know about music promotion at the time, but I thought I was doing a whole bunch. And it was nice to be in this band where all I had to do was show up, upgrade my gear whenever I could, learn the music, sing the backgrounds, just be on time sometimes. It was great, and ended up really getting the tour life there for a while. And we started writing together, put out a couple songs that him and I co-wrote, and that's where I really started getting the writing bug as well. And ended up making a bluegrass duo with a guy out there that was also in the band. He was a guitar player. And we started, I mean, we caught like fire really quickly. We played like 150 shows that first summer and just got burned out entirely. That'll happen when you are self-managing a band of two people. And we just both got super burned out. And, you know, you start to like resent each other at some point. We're like, you know what, let's just call it. Well, it is right now. We obviously have different directions. And it was very convenient at the time that that album him and I put out for the Cottonwood Boys caught the attention of one of my buddies out in Los Angeles that writes music for TV and movies, and he works with Universal a whole bunch, and they just absolutely loved the writing on the album. And that led me to working with them regularly, doing library music and working with artists and doing all sorts of songwriting. And I kind of became like the country guy for UMPG for a little bit there out in LA. And this is timeline-wise, we're at now is like circa 2022 or so.
Yep.
And at the beginning of 2023, I decided to move out to LA, try it out for a little bit and see what happened. And it ended up being a super cool networking opportunity and made good friends out there. You know, everything they say about California is wrong and also really correct at the same time. Like, I've never seen so much fakeness while at the same time so much genuine generosity on a daily basis. Like, it's people everywhere just trying to make it. And I feel like when you get squeezed into the pressure cooker that is Los Angeles, you're almost liable. If you're already a nice person, you're going to be even nicer.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of like a mean person, you're going to get even meaner.
Interesting. So it just brings out whatever's already there.
Yeah. Just brings you up to level 10.
Yeah.
Of that. And so I was glad I got that experience because it really changed my opinion about Los Angeles and the music scene out there. Granted, you know, people are right in every single way about it. People are wrong in every single way about it. And you just got to go out there and like find out if you want to really truly know. And some things went awry there with some personal stuff, and ended up having to leave Los Angeles and moved back to South Dakota just to kind of, again, reassess my life and kind of start where I was at the beginning of 2020, where it's like, what the hell am I doing? What's next? You know, I've done all these things. I know what I'm capable of, but kind of completely restarted. And rather than get a lease in South Dakota and be stuck there for another year with, I mean, the music scene out there, let me put a little asterisk there. Music scene out there is awesome. It's super tight knit. It's full of incredible players that I just pray one day move out of there so that they can like be even more appreciated.
But they won't, and you and I both know why they won't. It's because they don't want to be appreciated.
Well,
the people that are attracted, in my mind, tell me if I'm wrong, the people that are attracted to the smaller music scenes is because that's what they want.
Well, I should say the people, my friends out there, are definitely appreciated in the sense where like they play for everyone out there. And it's South Dakota, especially the Black Hills, are a place where you can make a lot of money very easily playing music. And it's relatively cheap to live out there. And you can, if you have your gig and you have your niche there, you can just make all the money you need, live comfortably in a beautiful area and not worry too much. So yeah, it gets cozy for sure. And I've never been cozy in my life, and it's a pattern of just uncomfortableness. Like I'm sitting on tacks all the time. and I was like, I can't sit here for another year, especially like I had history at the state and it was slightly different after this breakup that brought me back to South Dakota. So I was like, I need to get out of here. And one of my old college friends called me up and he said, hey, you know, I've got this space in my apartment that one of our other friends is moving out of. So you should just come here. We'll, you know, just breathe a little bit. And I, at the time, I thought I was going to be going to Nashville and playing. And I ended up moving here. And for, again, you know, that pattern of what am I doing? Oh, God, like, did I make a mistake? And very quickly, Minneapolis became very welcoming, comforting. And it's just packed full of talent, hidden talent in this area, and unhidden. There's talent out in the open, and there's talent that you don't even know exists in this state. And you're like, what the hell are you all doing here?
I know. It is quite a hidden little gem up here. I don't know, but it is cold. I would like anyone else to know it's cold.
Not this year.
No, not this year at all. It hasn't been cold at all.
I'm not going to say it's my doing, but I remember last year here being really cold.
Yep.
And then I moved here, and it's not cold. Not saying it's connected.
I don't know. Correlation and causation, I think, are pretty close.
Y'all are welcome. That's all I got to say.
We appreciate it. It was a nice year.
I had to reciprocate for all the kindness I received here. I was like, I give you banana belt.
Well, we are glad to have you with this banana belt weather. And so a lot of starts and stops that kind of led you here.
A lot
of cool things. But I have to imagine all of those different things you learn, because when you're doing different things like that, you don't get so pigeonholed into one thing, and you get to learn from every single one of those experiences. I mean, a duo bluegrass band, a touring band where you're just kind of the backup player, for lack of a better phrase, and then doing your own thing out in L.A. Like, you're getting a masterclass education on how to be a musician, just in all of these different ways, shapes, and forms. You know, a lot more than just someone who's only done a singer songwriter thing. And nothing against doing that. It's just by default, you don't know as much as somebody who's done more things. So it's kind of cool that we get to catch you after all of the learning, and you get to come and share all of this with everyone around here. And we're grateful to have you. So with all of that said, you've released some music along the way, and you put out, was it a full album last year?
So I put out a full album back in 2020.
Okay.
It's now on Bandcamp. It's not on Spotify anymore, just after some rebranding things. But the full album was called Free, and I recorded that one out in Iowa. And it was really my first Americana venture, because before that I was in a rock and roll band, and I was also in college doing jazz and classical music and kind of figuring out my direction. And so after the breakup of that rock and roll band, I went the natural progression towards a songwriter. You know, when you're getting older and you start calming down, I say as I'm 28, but and I did that album, and I was pretty stoked about it. And it was the first time I'd done an album entirely solo, like all my own writing, and just put that together. My first like live band studio experience.
Yep.
And so that album, it's still out there in the ether, floating around on Bandcamp. The most recent stuff I have out in the streaming world includes some singles that I produced and engineered back when I was working in a studio in Rapid City. I would just go there in the mornings at like 6 a.m. before the other guy would get in there to do the work, and just try and experiment and record stuff. And so that gave me Song of Iowa, which is just all recorded on one single mic. And I kind of just set it up in the middle of the room. Okay, it's actually two mics for the guitar and vocal track. I did those at the exact same time. I didn't do any tuning on it, just trying to capture it in the room. And then I had the one mic set up, and I just went back and forth, like grab one instrument, go do a take, go back, you know, do a punch, and just kind of going back and forth from the control room to the main room.
Yeah.
So that gave me Song of Iowa. And then same with Jump for Joy is a bluegrass tune I had out there, and that was dedicated to a good fan and my ex's dad, Gene, who's unfortunately not with us anymore, but he was like an incredible music supporter.
Yeah.
And put that out for him. And then trying to think what else I got. I did two singles up here in the end of 2022 when I was on a little November tour. I recorded those at River Rock with my buddy Gage Schmidt, who's another Northern Iowa grad, and he went to IPR before they closed.
Nice.
And he's just killing it as a sound engineer up here. He does bunkers a whole lot, like doing like Good, the Bad, and the Funky is like one of his main gigs, and it's super cool watching him at work. He's also a great engineer, and so I did those with him, just sitting in a room, you know, live takes, a bunch of room mics and all that, just trying to do it old school style.
Your stuff sounds live like that. It sounds like you recorded it in the room. So you definitely accomplished that sound. It's cool. It's got a nice raw vibe to it.
Everything I've done so far, and everything I have done is live instruments, and it's all full of, you know, the imperfections and things that I sit back and I think like I could have done that better, but it's definitely a moment in time. I look back on those, and I used to look back at records and be like, wow, I should have done better. I can't believe I missed that chair squeak in the background in that very open spot. Like, I can't believe I sang that way. And I've very slowly learned to not do that. It's great. I'm very comfortable now with what I put out.
Good, man. Nice. They're like tattoos, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes you're 18 and you get a tattoo and you wish you could change it, and, you know, you move on with your life and you appreciate it for what it was.
I fortunately have no tattoo regrets yet.
Really? Oh, man. I got a big-ass bull on my arm for no reason.
Which arm?
On my right arm. It's covered by a sleeve right now, but it's got flames around it.
Sure.
I mean, it is as tacky and white trash as it gets.
Are we talking like an American traditional bowl, or are we talking like a...
Yeah.
But that's cool. Like, American traditional bowl. I want an American traditional bowl.
Well, I got one you can model that you can get a tattoo of.
I'm going to get it right on my neck. Yeah. Just out in the open, man.
Right, dude. Just get it right up front. Right up front.
That's on my 2024 list. I'm going to get a tattoo on my neck. My goals, hey, resolutions.
What's his name? Benjamin Todd. He pulls it off.
He's got awesome tattoos.
Yeah, he's got awesome tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but all that to say, it's just like, you know, it's good to be able to appreciate the imperfections, because that's what makes music music. And anyone out there who was listening and heard Clay mention, you know, he doesn't tune anything, it doesn't mean he doesn't tune his guitars. I mean, he's just saying he doesn't go in and fix his vocal with the computer, which is something you can do. And sometimes you'll notice it, sometimes you won't. There's a lot of records people will listen to, voices are fixed on them, and you wouldn't even know. You'd have no idea. So it's super cool to leave things raw and unfiltered to an extent, where you capture that emotion, you capture that moment in the room, like you said, the moment in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, I also enjoy the process of recording way too much, which is why I'm probably a terrible engineer. I love the mixing part. And I love the playing part. And it would take me so long to do takes because I just enjoyed playing. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy putting the parts down. And that's not really good for saving money in a studio setting, which is why I would do that on my own time.
Yep.
And when I started working in Los Angeles, we were cranking out a lot of the catalog music, which is definitely more like fine-tuned. Like there is it's purposeful. It's meant for commercials. Yep. It's meant for movies. It has its place where, like, it needs to be fine-tuned,
yeah, it has
not
to have
distracting.
A sheen to it.
Exactly. Yeah. And those were things where it's like, all right, we got to do this in like two or three takes because we got to do seven of these songs this week, and we got to get another person in here to sing and do all this other crap. And you got to do guitar takes. And so I kind of honed it in for that. But for my own stuff, I enjoy it a little bit too much. So I have to learn to be more prepared and just be okay with the take I put down. And I've very quickly grown to just be very content with everything I put and just being able to set it down and know that it captures a moment, and I'm going to sing it differently live no matter how good the recording is. I'm going to play around with it.
I love that. I think that is such an underappreciated thing nowadays. Everyone wants, you know, everyone goes into the studio and goes, oh, how are we going to recreate this live? And so there is something about just being like, fuck it, I'm not worried about it. Like, we'll deal, when we get to live, it's a different instrument. Live, a stage and a studio are different tools,
right?
And just understanding there's a difference and treating them as such is huge.
Absolutely. Well, and to that point, I very much am a stickler, and that's where in bands before I've had a lot of disagreements where people want to add more and more elements to it, like what about a piano here, or like trumpet here, or something like that. And for me, I'm like, how the hell are we gonna do this live? Like, we don't. There's two of us in this band. What do you mean a piano?
Right.
And stuff like that would happen. This is the first time the record I'm currently working on that I know could easily be done by like a five piece.
Yeah,
and it's large enough, and there's enough parts that are essential that if you're just to do the five piece, it would be just fine. I don't need to hire, you know, seven pieces. You don't need to have a full, you know, Zac Brown Band format going on here.
It's a good way to not make any money.
Exactly. It's already tough enough, and I'm figuring out how to do it. And I want to make sure. It's why I do a lot of solo shows, because I have friends that I love to play with. They're amazing. I know they can do it, and I just can't pay them what I think they're worth all the time. And it sucks when you're like, guys, I want to bring you out from South Dakota, or I want to hire you guys from St. Cloud, and just, sorry, I can't, you know, unless you want to do it for $50, which I know you don't, because you're worth more.
Exactly. Well, and then there's the element of sometimes they'll say yes to the $50, and then it's almost like, I wish you wouldn't have, because now you're going to I'm going to feel bad that I can't pay you, and the day of the show, you might be upset that you agreed to do it, you know? Like, it's a weird dynamic. I know what you mean.
Well, and I don't think I've made money on a full band show in years, because I will always pay everyone more. And like, if we have merch, that's how maybe I can get some money back. And I'll, you know, I'm happy, because like with a full band show, those are for me more of a presentation. It's like, this is what we can do. Mm-hmm. This is what I want things to look like going forward. And for me, it's more of like an investment to be able to pay a band that, and make sure that they're paid enough that they want to do the parts correctly and have a good time.
Yep.
And so I don't think I've made like $5 to $10 a gig, maybe like tipping wise or something, or like, you know, if I count Ranch Waters or something that I'm getting out of it. Cause I always make sure that the band is paid out of my cut. And if I can split it more, and then I'll like take it out of my own bank if I can. Cause full band shows for me are not about making money. Cause obviously it's in the industry right now. No one is doing a full band show for the money of it. Exactly. They love it.
Yeah. That's the best way to approach it, and to take care of your guys and your people, and, you know, just making sure everyone goes home happy at the end of the day. But all this talk about live music, I made you drag that guitar over here.
It's true.
Any interest in playing a song for the people here?
Yeah. What's the vibe? What are you feeling on this? What is it? Monday afternoon. Evening?
Monday afternoon. How about the funny song you're never gonna record?
You're going to do that to me, aren't you?
I'm just kidding, man. We can cut that out. You can play anything, honestly. Whatever you're feeling.
I'll do one. All right, let's do one. Let's do one that the people can listen to that is already out.
There you go.
Because I've been just playing a lot of ones that aren't out lately, and it's not exactly conducive to selling your product that's not out. But this one is out, and it's I recorded this one at River Rock Studios called No Return to Sender. It's a good old-fashioned pre-breakup song.
I'm past an oil change, few miles on the fuel range, where I'm gonna lay my head, I do not know. What's got me feeling down? I should be missing you right now, and I can say that I absolutely don't. And it feels so very wrong after running together so long towards the finish line we've already missed. And you know it's a lie why I'm stopping in my hometown tonight to seal our pardon deal with another's kiss. I'd call you on the telephone if I had something to say. I'd drive on through the midnight if I felt it would make a change. I'd buy you an airplane ticket, but I'd only be buying time, so I'll write it in the letter, no return to sender, head on down the line. A different town every night, making good friends and great times like the times that we haven't had in years. And it makes me blue. The only thing that we ever do is eat our takeout dinner and fall asleep in tears. And I know I share the blame on the road fighting for my name. It's hard to love the cold side of a bed. And I feel just as alone, but only when I'm at home. The only thing that's called her is our love that's been long dead. I'd call you on the telephone if I had something to say. I'd drive on through the midnight if I felt it would make a change. I'd buy you an airplane ticket, but I'd only be buying time, so I'll write it in a letter, no return to sender, head on down the line. So I'll write it in a letter, no return to sender, head on down the line.
That's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. Oh. Damn. All right. So, We got to take 1 second to thank some sponsors, but that was an incredible song.
Absolutely. Who's sponsoring?
Oh, who man, all sorts of people.
Who's
we got
heroes?
It's going to be Car Concierge, actually.
What the hell is that?
Let me tell you about Car Concierge. Car Concierge is this really cool service that they help you buy a car. Is basically the deal. So you know when you like go to a car dealership and it's a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
They just try and upsell you on everything. Well, here's the deal. I mean, here's the thing, everybody. Do you need to shop for a new car, but you can't find the time, right? Or maybe past experiences with shady dealerships and salespeople have made you avoid starting the search for your new vehicle altogether? Well, go to Car Concierge because they get it. That's why they exist. Car Concierge is going to work directly with you to understand what you're looking for in your ideal vehicle, and then they'll take the search on for you. That's right. So you're going to save endless amounts of time and questions by working with Car Concierge, who will search, find, negotiate, and ultimately deliver your dream car directly to you, right? Without you having to step foot in a car dealership. So just visit their website at gocarconcierge.com or call 612-662-7788 to get started today. That's Car Concierge. And make your next car buying purchase experience an easy one. That's the deal.
Nice.
It's just, yeah, I mean, you don't have to do the Facebook Marketplace thing. You don't have to do any of that.
Use the discount code no return to sender to get 100% off your car.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No, that is our sponsor of the Glad You're Here podcast. But
nice.
So no return to sender. That is a badass song. I have a question for you. So I used to have a theory, and it keeps getting blown up on this show. This is going to show my ignorance, right? Because I used to have this thing where I would say, you know, people that have really good voices, usually they don't write as good of songs. And again, hear me out first, because I was wrong. I used to say this, and it would be to comfort myself, to make myself feel better. But and it was because, like, well, they don't need to write as good a song, right? Because they have a beautiful voice. And then people like you come along, and you're like, actually, fuck you, bud. I'm going to write beautiful songs, and I have a great voice. So your theory is dog shit. And it's nice to be proven wrong, because you're also, I mean, not only are you a great singer and a great musician and performer, you're also like a dedicated songwriter, right? You're writing all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different directions I'm thinking I could go with this right now. I'm trying to think which one's the least asshole-ish one I have.
No, call
I'm
me
coming
a,
up blank.
Call me a dick. It's
oh no,
fine.
It's not against you at all. It's I don't know. Like I said before, I lost my voice for a while, and
yeah.
Like I had to learn how to sing. There's videos around the internet, I'm sure, of me sounding terrible.
Yeah.
My rock and roll band's record. Some of the worst singing that I've ever heard from anyone, let alone myself.
Right.
And like, I had to learn how to sing and how to control my voice, how to treat it right, how to like practice it. Like, I'm not one of those people that can just go out on stage, and most people are not the kind of people that can just go out on stage and do it. And so, I feel like people, maybe to explain it, I don't want to say like this is a generality, but to explain that, maybe like people that are really good at singing maybe don't have to worry about the songwriting aspect, because if you look at country music right now, like there's so many people where it's like, wow, they're such an amazing songwriter and like they're a great singer. And then you look at the actual credits and there's like five people that wrote the song.
You're right.
Like, well, okay, how good of a songwriter are they? Are they just the one that's like, I want a song about,
this.
You know, being sad and drinking whiskey. And then five other dudes are like, we got it. What kind of other words do you want in it? And then five people get paid. I don't know.
That's fair.
That sounds like my hell there, which is why I don't want to go to Nashville for a lot of reasons. But so I feel like maybe if you're like already a really talented singer, you don't necessarily have to. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm going to like divide the room. But
it's all good, because I already divided the room. So, I mean, basically the theory was like if you're a good singer, it's kind of like pretty privilege. Right.
I was kind of thinking that, and I didn't want to say it because it's like we live in a time where that's kind of going away a little bit. Like, God, that sounds terrible too. Because then you're implying that there's ugly people. And now I'm just feeling like
it's a good point.
Cornered here.
Well, see, this is the beauty of the podcast. We can just cut all of it out, and then
leave it in raw. I don't. I will defend everything I say.
All right,
because I said it. Moment in time.
That's fair. We'll leave it in. But basically, the theory was like, you don't need to focus on songwriting as much just because people are entertained by your voice enough because you have such a beautiful voice. And so maybe because of that, it's kind of like being the smarter kid in school who didn't have to study. You don't actually learn how to study, and it becomes, you know, a thing
Sure.
down the line. But I think what you said is actually very intuitive about why that's not entirely accurate is because they still had to learn how to sing. They're, you know,
yeah.
There's not like you just came out of the womb and you're a great singer.
Right.
Like that still took effort.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And the problem with my theory was that I was discounting that effort because sure. I am not one of those gifted singers, and so it was just like this insecurity of this early 20s guy who's like, well, all they can do is sing. They just got that naturally, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have two things that I'm saying. Maybe that this – hopefully this cancels out every dickish thing I just said. But
it won't cancel out the dickish things I said.
I think – for me, it just comes down to a simple thing where it's like I don't like claiming to be something that I'm not. And like I see songwriters – people with that title songwriter out, like especially in country music right now, there are so many people that like they go to a songwriter round, they go to a Nashville proper songwriter round where there's songwriters and a crowded room of people, and then they sit on a stool while someone else plays the guitar parts. And look, like I get it's like difficult sometimes to like multitask, but guitar is not that hard, and these songs that these songwriters are doing are not that hard to play guitar on.
Right.
So it drives me nuts when I see someone sitting on a stool and then there's a guitar player and it's like, oh, I'm a songwriter, but actually there's other person came up with the guitar part and all that, and like, so you're just a lyricist.
Yeah.
Like, call yourself a lyricist.
Right.
And then like sing along to the song. I don't know. For me, like a songwriter is someone that this guitar goes everywhere with them. Mm. Like all my friends that are songwriters, they're poor, they're broke, or they've made a lot of money by working their asses off. And like they're well known in the Midwest songwriter circuit. And like, these are people that actually can play every single thing that they write.
Yep.
And they can sing the notes and they can change it on the fly if they want to change the song differently, versus like, I hate being, you see the people that are tied down to just like, we have to do it the same way every day. And it gets to a larger point where I'm like, why are we putting people, why are labels championing people that can't play guitar and sing at the same time, or they have to fake guitar and play, when there's people that are 10 times more talented that can do both. And if you just put those people with the power of a label behind them, they would be equally as successful.
Right.
I don't know, like there's bands that use like, there's so many bands using live auto-tune units now. And it's like,
if you need
to use auto-tune, there's 100 people that could sing the same song.
Yeah.
And don't need that rack, like Stapleton.
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton does everyone knows I love him. So it's like, it's not going to sound crazy that I brought him up, but like you even go back to the tracks from all of his albums. And one of my buddies in LA just sent me a video of, they were going through all the individual tracks off of like Tennessee Whiskey.
Yep.
And they pulled out just Stapleton's vocals and he's playing guitar at the same time. You can hear him playing guitar through the vocal mic, not a single ounce of auto-tune on that. Yep. That rec, like he has no auto-tune on his voice and it's insane.
Yeah.
And I know 100 people with a voice just as good. It's not like they're not Stapleton voice, but it's their version of it where they are just as good live.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we championing and putting money into people that need the crutches and need the, like, this is why I be careful not to be too ideological, because at the end of the day, if someone that sits on a stool and can't play guitar for shit but sings a song that resonates with people, that's why we do what we do. That's the important part. Like if they're selling out a stadium and they can't play guitar and they have to fake it, but it changes a bunch of people's lives, they get to see the concert, like that's at the end of the day, that's the important part. And I recognize that. That's why I love what I do. My fans are literally my family, and the reason, like, I hate the word fans, like they are my family, because playing music for them and seeing what it does for them is why I do this. It's obviously not the money, because it's been very difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, it's like, I know plenty of people that are just as talented and also just as like passionate about it. And I want to see them on those stages so bad. So like, I guess for me, to answer your question in a very roundabout way, I make sure that I can sing and play my own songs that I write and sing them well, because I want to do it the right way for people that come to see it. And I want them to believe that they can do it too, without needing a record label, without needing an auto-tune unit, without needing to spend $40,000 on a record. It's like, music is something for everyone. And sometimes I think I want to see my friends doing those things and being those people on the stages in the sold out arenas. And, yeah, that's more than you needed to know about my ideology about music. But
I fucking love it, because the passion says everything about it, right?
I'm shaking over here.
Yeah, I mean, There are things. Look, there are electricians getting pissed off when they walk into a job site and they look like, "What the hell did the other guy do?" Right?
Yep.
And I want the guy who shows up and says, "What the hell did the other guy do?" That's the guy I want wiring my house.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You have a passion for what you do, whether it's you're a plumber, you're an electrician, you're a musician, whatever it is. That's the guy I want to work with. You know? So you're gonna get pissed off about some things. There's gonna be some things that bug you about the way things work out, and especially like you said, you want your friends to be the people that you're seeing have the success. And you're like, my friend can do that, and that guy can't. That guy doesn't know how to fucking wire a house.
Yeah.
You know? Why'd you get in the jobs?
Well, and it's weird because, like, with music, you can not know how to wire a house, and you still get hired to wire a house. Like,
exactly.
Like, that doesn't happen in any other job. Like, if you like math and you want to be an accountant, you like numbers, but you're really bad at it, and you don't have, like, a CPA? Is that what
you think that's it, CPA? Yeah.
If you're not a licensed chiropractor, like you're not a certified, if you haven't passed the bar to be a lawyer,
yep.
But you like law, you don't get to just be a lawyer.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, I don't know, this is, again, I used to get really mad about this stuff, and it sound like I'm a dick where I'm like, music should just be for people that are good, which is not right, because music is literally for everyone, and it's changed my life, and I realize this year what it means and how, like, I used to think it was really stupid when people would say, like, that song changed my life, or your music saved me. Like, I didn't get it, and this year I understood it. Like, music has saved my life and kept me alive, and realizing that, like, when I play for people, I'm more comfortable spilling everything that has ever happened to me to a crowd of strangers, because the way that I do it, I see how people see, they are glad to hear someone say something that maybe they are scared to say, or that they feel and they just don't feel like people see them.
Yep.
So music for me has become very much about that aspect of it, where I get it, why I do it. And it's like, man, where am I going with this? I get it, where it's the impact of the music is what's important.
Yeah.
But it's just like sometimes there's people that should have been told no. You know, that's...
I get it, man.
It sounds terrible, but like...
No, it's...
There are people... Like, Los Angeles was an awesome place because it was very supportive, especially in the songwriter rounds, the open mics, incredibly supportive. But sometimes you'd meet people where, like, they had this idea, like, I'm going to go to L.A. and I'm just going to be blanket famous. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to go to Los Angeles. I'm going to be famous. It's going to work out. And it doesn't work that way if you don't have some. And, like, you're kind of an annoying person to be around if you're like, I just want to be famous, and you don't have any reason why, any
That's
reasoning to. And
so
it's
so vapid. Can you imagine trying to please that person? That person's so empty.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And that person, though, because of the way technology has advanced with, like, social media and with at-home recording, that person gets to try it out and gets to saturate the same space, where it's like, if you're not a accountant with a degree or with experience and you throw an application in to be an accountant, you're just not going to even get considered for an interview. But if you're an accountant that's good at accounting and good at numbers and put in the work and the time and the passion, you can get the job. Music's a little less strict, which is good as an art. Like, it challenges it and makes it so that people really do have to put a lot of effort into it and rise to the top if you want to do it. And at the end of the day, like, even with TikTok and Instagram and how social media lets people be a part of the scheme here, at the end of the day, like, one of my friends, he used to say, and this resonated with me, that real still recognizes real.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if you make something lasting and you've put the work into it, people recognize that. And that's why things stand the test of time. And some things are trends and they go away, and TikTok stars come and go. But music that means something lasts.
100%.
That's my preacher
preach,
moment of the day. That's my church for y'all.
I get it. No,
send your donations to ClaytonRyanBandcamp.com.
At ClaytonRyanBandcamp.com. Please donate to the church of Clayton Ryan.
It's a cult. It's not a church.
The Cult of Clayton Ryan. That's a good record.
Whiskey
right there.
Whiskey Sacrament right there.
Yeah, Whiskey Sacrament. Hell yeah. I agree with you more. I was thinking about this the other day too, because the democratization of music is a great thing that people can have it. But also, it would be nice if you didn't have to compete with everyone who's not taking it, you know, as quote unquote seriously, right? Because it's occupying the same space is a great way to put it, of people don't know the difference, and people have so much choice to choose from all the time. And I think about Zach Bryan. What do you think about Zach Bryan? It's okay, love him, hate him, doesn't matter. because it's not him that's the thing I'm going to talk about.
I think he's a very fresh take on country music that kind of like borders. I always call him like he's the gateway for if you want Colorado like beer drinking hiking Lumineers fans to like get to country music. He's like that little bridge there, and I believe that he genuinely cares a lot about his fans and whatnot. And he's a young gun that there's some things he said and done that maybe if he had had to play the bars and the 3-hour gigs might not have happened. But
exactly.
Again, at the same time, as far as I know. Seems like he's got his head pretty much in the right space.
I think we're on the same page there in regards to Zach, right? And it's the thing about it is all of these people that saw Zach and are now like, oh, he just played guitar on TikTok, and I can just play guitar and yell into a microphone on TikTok. And now we have all the Zach Bryan impersonators that are out there. And it's like you are occupying the same space. And that's what's wild is these are people that didn't put the effort into learning the craft the way that Zach did. Love him, hate him, whatever you think about him. At least we can all admit he at least put in the work into like becoming a songwriter, right? Didn't play the gigs, but he learned how to write songs. And now people are just kind of standing on the shoulders of giants, for lack of a better phrase.
Sure.
Doing the shallow work. It's, you know what it is? It's like when you have a friend who doesn't have any skills, but they know somebody who does, and so they think that they have that skill. Right? It's like, oh, I'm not a mechanic, but my brother's a mechanic, so let me tell you how to fix your car.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not, you don't learn things by osmosis, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't just get to absorb it by being around. I mean, you do in one way, but it's got to be like you have to have intention to absorb it.
Exactly.
And distinction that you are absorbing something that you're gonna permutate into your own version of it. And I had to do my own thinking on that sort of stuff, because I was for a while there, like I was doing some pretty direct, like my Stapleton version. Like I was writing what Chris Stapleton was doing and doing my version of it. And part of that too is like doing the sync music and whatnot. You are just taking a song that's already a success and you're like, how do I make my version of it to put in a movie? But doing my own stuff is like I had to kind of dial back and sit and realize, like, all right, what does my voice most comfortably feel like when I'm singing? What are the songs that people enjoy?
Yep.
And what are the songs that when I play them and I see it on the set list that I'm excited for? And then what are the ones that I'm not excited for? And that's kind of how I determine, like, all right, if I do more songs like that one that I enjoy when I see it on the set list, that is the kind of stuff I need to keep writing and doing more of.
Exactly.
If there's one where I'm like, this one doesn't really fit, or like it's not the right style, maybe it goes in a different entire universe, different record, or maybe it's just like, that's not the style I should be doing.
Yeah. Well, right there, man. That's part of the process. That's part of the learning process. And if you skip all those steps, you aren't able to articulate like you just did why the song is the way it is, why you're writing the songs that you write. And part of the process is even doing the rip-off stage. I just don't think we should reward people for the rip-off stage, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's, yeah.
There's a lot of impersonation is not the word, but not echoing either, but there's a lot of nodding to other artists going on, and it becomes, it's almost like an identity thing. Like, I hate using this as an example because I feel like they get ragged on a lot and they are successful, but Greta Van Fleet is a good example.
I've ragged on them many times.
Greta Van Fleet's a good example. Like, they, you know, say what you will about them. Like, it's funny to watch an interview and they're like, oh, we're inspired by like world music. It's like, you're not like,
we get
it. Like, we get it. But at the same time, they made rock and roll cool for young people.
Yes.
So it's like at the end of the day, the effect outweighs the like
the
cause.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I try and look at that more so. And that's, I think when you make that distinction, you're like, all right, someone sounds like this person. Zach Topp's another one where like, if you've heard his music, he's like Alan Jackson and George Strait like combined, and it's very, very direct. Like even the production is such like a nod to a certain style. But at the end of the day, if it's serving a purpose for people that listen, and maybe that serves as a gateway to them learning, oh, who did he listen to sound like that?
Exactly.
It's doing the justice.
Yeah.
And so that I'm really trying to hone into that more, because there's probably some interviews floating around from the last like 5 years where I was just like, that's so dumb, do your own thing, like that's so stupid. And then, you know, you grow as a person and you realize like, oh, strong opinions don't always make you sound confident.
Exactly.
They just sometimes make you sound like you're mad that you aren't doing
you
well.
You aren't the one.
And I was like, oh, maybe I am mad that I'm not doing well. Wow, I'm growing.
Yeah,
go exactly. Me.
Well, and also on the flip side of everything that we're saying too is part of that is like the Zach Tops or the Greta Van Fleets or whatever, or like taking a chance on these. Again, impersonation is not the right word, but more direct lineage of whatever they're influenced by, mm-hmm. right? Like a more direct is giving them an opportunity to grow. And the hard part for them is that they have to grow in public now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like even look back at the Bruce Springsteen era of you had Bruce Springsteen comes out and then immediately you get John Mellencamp, you get Bob Seger, you get all like, right? I mean, I don't think anyone's going to say that we're not glad to have that stuff because the stuff they ended up making, maybe at the beginning it was more derivative,
sure.
but then they grew into their own artists. And so that's kind of a cool thing that people get the opportunity to do. I just, man, it would be so hard to grow in public. I don't think I could take the hate and the flame, you know, if I was one of the Greta Van Fleets or whatever.
You know, I'm stoked for the hate because yeah. I've realized for me the best thing for me, because I scroll through Instagram and I see all the country articles and whatnot. Like I follow all the country Americana and rock and roll news outlets and they post things and every day I want to comment on every single thing and be like, this is what I think. And I realize like there was one today about Coe Wetzel put out a song about how no one's a road warrior anymore and it's all TikTok stars. And I have opinions, as I've already said in this podcast, obviously. But at the end of the day, I'm like, my motto right now is stay in my lane.
Yeah.
I can only focus on my music, on how my sound is affecting people, how my songs are organically reaching people. You just have to stay in your lane. You 100%. Have to literally only, like, don't. There's so much in this world that we are exposed to just nonstop. You get to see every problem of the world. We're not meant to know about everything all the time everywhere.
Yep.
So like you have to just stay in your own lane and think, all right, how do I focus only on this song I need to finish? How do I focus on funding this record? How do I focus on just getting this song to the people that I know would love it? Because you can't afford to think about like your strong opinions. Like I have so many strong opinions and I'm learning to shut them the hell up.
Yeah.
Because my opinions will just make they don't make friends, and I as I've learned, I don't usually agree with those opinions. Like within a matter of 6 months to a year, like I change
yeah.
so much and I grow so much as an individual that I'm like, shut up, me right now, because 6 months from now, later me is gonna say, hey, shut up, 6 months ago you.
Yeah,
and that's you know with the way things are documented now. You don't get a chance to explain it all the time.
I know.
No, I promise I've changed.
Yeah, I'm not 22 anymore.
Yeah, I'm not 22. I'm not 28 anymore. I'm 28 and a half.
Yeah, I've changed. Things have changed. I get it, man. But it all comes back to kind of what I said of like, you know, you're a passionate individual. And that comes with, for better or worse, passionate opinions about things.
It's sure.
It's just going to come through occasionally. But the reason I wanted to get into songwriting is because you're doing this really cool thing where you're writing a song every day for a year right now.
Yeah, I will, you know, full disclosure, and it's probably no secret, but I took like 10 days off because I got some bad bronchitis back in January.
Fair.
And I lost my voice. And it just was, I was sitting in bed all day just trying to breathe through my nose and and not, you know, die. It's crazy. Even right now, I called a button, the cough button in the back of my throat from this bronchitis months ago, that if something just touches it, I just start coughing like I got tuberculosis or something. like I'm that character in the Wild West movie that needed to move to a dry climate and he's always carrying around a bloody rag. That is me as soon as something touches this. I'm Doc Holliday when that something touches the back of my throat. So I'm 10 days behind at least.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do 365 songs. That's the point of it. And I do write them every day. I don't always post them.
Fair.
Because it's like sometimes I'm writing at 9 o'clock at night and I'm not going to go like annoy my roommate by doing a video. And also like posting after about 8 o'clock is useless anyway.
Yep.
It gets, you know, throttled down and no one's on the internet. So it's sometimes just easier to wait and put out a couple in one day. And like hopefully people understand like the work is there.
Yeah.
I'm doing the writing part. I my phone is just chock full of ideas. And I do a lot of the writing at work and in my mind. And I try and like sneak away to the bathroom or something just to like, I got to capture this before I forget it.
Yeah.
And, so I'm on day 52 as of, what is it, March 11th, 2024. Day 52, 53, I think 53. And I have this idea that I'm going to do like 10 in a day one of these weekends, and I just get so busy that I don't. But rest assured, I am doing the writing, and I will have 365 songs for all you people. I'm hoping to get more time to do like more produced versions of the videos where it's not just me and the guitar.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think I don't want to be known as a guy that just produces songs every day either. I want to be a guy that just comes up with things and plays them on a guitar, because that's how you see me in real life. Like, you were saying something earlier about like being well-rounded and getting experience and people that don't always do that. And like, I'm kind of a Swiss Army knife, where I went to school for upright bass. I was in symphony and jazz bands, played in Latin groups, and then I also had a rock and roll band, and I was singing and writing. I played in jazz bands. South Dakota, I was doing all sorts of stuff, session work. I write, I do minor production for sync music. And I've had to say no to some pretty awesome gigs playing bass, because I've realized I have to for my own benefit, if I focus on just the songwriting and making sure that everyone I meet knows that I am a guitar playing singer songwriter that has a Americana soul twangy thing going on, that's what I want everyone to know. And my friend Michael Shines said it best, and I was talking to him about this. I was like, man, I don't know what to do. I could go on this big old tour this year with this one artist, or I could focus on my own stuff. And the way he said it is like, the more gigs you take on bass, that leads to more bass gigs, because people see you playing bass. The more gigs you do playing your solo music, more likely it is you're going to get more gigs doing that. And so I had to like shut down a bunch of opportunities, and it's been actually really good for me, because I used to say yes to everything, make it work, and do the best I could. And now having to single-mindedly only work on these songwriting projects and just playing as many gigs as Clayton Ryan has made my life super simple. And that's honestly like, there's a lot of people that I kind of, going back to what we were saying about the guy sitting on the stool not playing guitar. The reason that guy is there is because he didn't go play bass gigs. He didn't go and sit in the symphony. And granted, I liked those things, but they're hobbies if I do them. So I had to decide, all right, if I want to be that guy sitting in the chair and playing guitar at the national rounds and playing at stadiums, I need to just focus on doing that, because that guy did it before I thought about doing it, and that's why he's there. Now, if I combine just my songwriting inclination and my voice and my guitar and focus only on that, there's no reason I can't get the opportunity to play for people like that.
100%.
So it's completely changed my entire philosophy this year, is do way less and do way more at the same time.
I love it. Just depth, not breadth.
Exactly, yeah. It's more qualitative than it is a quantitative affair at this point.
I get it. And it's really well thought out, and it's cool to see you doing it and putting in the work and becoming one of the I don't know the word, one of the eminent songwriters around here. I don't know what that word actually means. It just feels like the right word. But one of my
favorite rappers.
Yeah. but I'm glad you're doing it, man. And thank you so much for sharing it with all of us, right? And keeping that pedal to the floor and not giving it up, even despite the starts and stops and everything, and coming back to it, because it does matter, man. The art you're making, it's important, and it matters to people. And I just like to remind artists, because I don't think people say it enough. Like, thank you for doing it.
Well, and if I had advice to give to anyone, it's like, keep tabs of everyone that says anything to you about what your music does for them. Anyone that comes to your shows, because those are the people that are going to be there when you need them to show the world that you are doing something for people. And those are the people that are going to be there when you doubt that you can do it. And things changed for me this year in that sense, where I started really realizing and taking that in, where someone said like, hey, that was, this song did this for me and all that stuff. And so, realizing now that what music is for the people that you play for, which is a crazy concept to like, for me to take that long for me to learn, like to be doing music for like 10 to 12 years. And finally at like the 10th year being like, oh, this is for the people that buy the tickets, is like crazy. crazy to be like, whoa, this is for someone other than myself. I feel like I finally grew up at age 28 somewhat, like at least in that aspect.
You're getting it, man.
Hopefully. I hope I'm figuring it out at least, because I can't afford another 10 years of being like, oh, wait, what?
Wait, what?
Music's about, like, making a career? Whoa.
You mean I'm wiring this house so there's electricity here for people? What? I thought I just loved running wires, man.
Wait, I got to play the guitar and sing at the same time?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Well, where can the people find you on all of the social media places? And then you won't believe this, we're already coming up to the end of our hour. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So maybe, I mean, if you want to tell the people where they can find you, and then do you want to play another song for everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on every single social media, much to my own mental detriment. My brain's melting out of my ears, so if you go find me and follow me and comment on my stuff and we all get to laugh at each other, then that'll make all this mind-melting worth it. It's Clayton R.C. Ryan, I think, on most platforms. Got Instagram, Facebook's Clayton Ryan Music, you know, TikTok. I got a lot of fun on TikTok, man. Yeah. TikTok's really fun. Doing my songwriters of the day and doing some silly shit. I have a website which has all the dates. Just I finally got ClaytonRyan.com after nice. Years of some other asshole having it.
Did you have to buy it from him?
It was one of those like auction things, and so I got that. So it's like, yes, I am the Clayton Ryan, which is great because there's another Clayton Ryan on Facebook that doesn't even put music out, but it says like musician, and he's got like 20,000 followers and doesn't post anything ever. So I'm like, why can't I have that one?
Right?
So I finally got the website. So we're closing in.
There you go.
Trying to think what else I got. I've been having fun with Threads, you know, getting on there. It's kind of like Twitter without the cancer of the eyes that I used to have from being on Twitter. Yeah, so that's all the socials. Bandcamp's a great place to go buy anyone's music because you can pay whatever you want. You can be like, hey, a single, I'm going to pay you $20. And we really appreciate it. And trust me, people that use Bandcamp are keeping track of you, and they want you will be the first to know when they're doing something. They will let you know. They will send you stuff. They'd be like, hey, man, we have extra shirts. Do you want one for free because you are here buying my stuff? Yeah, so Bandcamp's really good. Trying to think where I'm playing. When's this coming out?
This will probably come out like early April, I want to say.
Early April. All right, I'm going to promote it right now then. Yeah. April 12th. Playing at the Bryant Lake Bowl. It is nice. A single release.
Oh, good spot for it.
I don't know the single yet, seeing as it is a month out, and we're still finalizing all that, which means I need to get my ass in gear this weekend. There will be a single released on April 12th.
Nice.
And we are playing the Bryant Lake Bowl, and currently as it stands, it's me and then Thomas Stika, who's another amazing country artist out down here in the Twin Cities. He's another mustached man playing good country music. And really making the scene a better place with all the work he does. So the Bryant Lake Bowl, if there's still tickets by the time this thing comes out, and I hope there's not, then go buy your tickets right now. We're going to sell out the place, and it's going to be a great time, a good hang. Other than that, you know, album's going to be coming out at some point. I don't know yet. I don't know when. We're just working on making a good product right now.
That's all right. That's why the people follow you on all the places, so they can stay informed for when it does come out.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on. I'm sure you'll go to the website by now. Hopefully when you're hearing this, there'll be more dates on it. With some more cool gigs. I'm playing with some great folks every week. You can always go down to the Minnesota Songwriter Showcase every Wednesday at the Astor Cafe or every Sunday at Plums.
Is Nick still doing those?
Nick's still doing it. Yeah, dude, he's going to be doing it till he's gone. That guy does it for everyone.
He's good people.
I'm usually hanging out there. It's a good time. We love everyone. So if you want to get your songwriting fixed, whether you're a performer or a listener, come hang with us. We don't bite. We just sing. I think that's it. You know, tip your bartenders. You know, donate to the national parks.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Shit, it's too late for us.
If you sing, if you're a songwriter, learn how to play guitar too.
There you go.
That's it.
That's the message. That's the takeaway.
It's a golden rule, man. Get tattoos, you know, get in some places where they're visible, so you have to have cool jobs for the rest of your life.
There it is. That is the message right there. Let's let you take it away. What are you going to play for the people here, you think?
Let me think here. So we did a sad one, a breakup one. So I'm going to do a super cute one. I wrote this one with my friend Sarah Manning down in Nashville. She's an absolute sweetheart. We're kind of each other's therapists at times, going, you know, similar places in life. And we wrote this song. We're like, you know what? We're tired of writing sad shit. Let's write something super cute about being young and in love and hopeful. About the future, and you may not have everything you want, but you'll get it one day as long as you just have each other. And so this one's called Evergreen.
Love it.
Don't worry about your keys, I'll take mine. We'll carry coffee mugs filled with sweet red wine. These houses look like toys in this neighborhood tonight. Like hollow shells with orange glowing light. You like the porches wrapped all around. We could talk there for hours through the quiet cricket sound. I want a yard under stars, throw a blanket right on the ground. Maybe one day, but we'll pretend for now. We're young enough that we'll pretend for now. Cause we got time to make young and dumb mistakes. Cause our own slice of paradise can't wait. You're crazy to be free, crazy not to believe in the foolish heart of a wild wannabe. The root of a 20-something dream. Honey, you can be my evergreen. Don't worry about the walls, they're fading gray. Leave those nails for the landlord with the rent he makes us pay. This little dark apartment's just a stop along the way. A story we can laugh about one day. We can tell it to our children one day. Cause we got time to make young and dumb mistakes. Cause our own slice of paradise can't wait. You're crazy to be free, crazy not to believe in the foolish heart of a wild wannabe. The root of a 20-something dream. Honey, you can be my evergreen. Honey, you can be my evergreen. Yeah.
Now you can make fun of me for missing one chord. Be like, yeah, that guy doesn't even know how to play guitar and sing.
We can find our dirt, let's go plant our seeds, water it well and dig up all the weeds. And when we're old and gray, without a dollar to our name, your love will build a palace just the same. Cause we got time to make young and dumb mistakes, cause our own slice of paradise can't wait. You're crazy to be free, crazy not to believe in the foolish heart of a wild wannabe. The root of a 20-something dream. Honey, you can be my evergreen. Honey, you can be my evergreen. Honey, you can be my evergreen.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This is a blast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a good way to decompress after some dumb work.
There you have it, folks. Clayton, Ryan, go give him a follow on social media. Buy tickets for that April 12th release show at Bryant Lake Bowl. Go listen to his music on Spotify, Bandcamp, all of the places. Great guy, great songs, great voice. I don't really have anything else to add other than, I think we kind of laid it all out on the line there. So, just one last time, I want to thank our sponsor for the show, Car Concierge, and just remind you about what they do. All right, if you're shopping for a new car and you don't have the time, right, and those past experiences you've had with those, shady dealerships and salespeople, it just has made you want to avoid starting that search for your new car. Car Concierge gets it, all right, and that's exactly why they exist. They're going to work directly with you to understand what you're looking for in your ideal vehicle, and then they'll take that search on for you, all right? So you can save endless amounts of time and questions by working with Car Concierge because they're going to search, find, negotiate, and ultimately deliver that dream car directly to you, all right? So that's going to be without you having to step foot inside of a car dealership. So visit their website at gocarconcierge.com. It's also down in the show notes. Or you can call 612-662-7788 to get started today. Thank you for listening to Glad You're Here. Please like, share, subscribe, comment, follow, all the things. New episodes dropping every single Wednesday. And that's all I have for you. I will see you all next week. Thank you. Bye.